With the novena of Holy Christmas, at the age of about 17, I prepared myself for the feast of Holy Christmas by practicing various acts of virtue and mortification, and especially by honoring the 9 months which Jesus spent in the maternal womb, with 9 hours of meditation each day. always concerning the mystery of the Incarnation.
First excess of love. As, for example, for 1 hour with my thought, I brought myself to paradise, and I imagined the most holy Trinity, the Father sending the Son upon earth, the Son promptly obeying the will of the Father, the Holy Spirit consenting. My mind was confused and contemplating a mystery so great, a love so reciprocal, so equal, so strong among themselves and toward men, and then the ingratitude of men, and especially my own. I would have remained there, not for 1 hour, but for the whole day. But an interior voice told me, enough. Come and see other greater excesses of my love.
The second excess of love. Then my mind brought itself into the maternal womb and remained stupefied in considering a God so great in heaven, now so annihilated, restricted, constrained, as to be unable to move and almost even to breathe. The interior voice told me, do you see how much I have loved you? Oh, please make me a little space in your heart. Remove everything which is not mine, so you will give me more freedom to move and to breathe. My heart was consumed. I asked for his forgiveness. I promised to be completely his own. I pour myself out in crying. But I say this to my confusion. I'll go back to my usual defects. O Jesus, how good you are with this miserable creature.
Mary.
Third excess of love. As I moved on from the second to the third meditation, an interior voice told me, "My daughter, place your head upon the womb of my mama and look deep into it at my little humanity." My love devoured me. The fires, the ocean, the immense seas of love of my divinity inundated me, burned me to ashes, and sent their flames so high as to rise and reach everywhere. All generation, from the first to the last man, my little humanity was devoured in the midst of such flames. But do you know what my eternal love wants me to devour? Souls. And only then was I content, when I devoured them all, to remain conceived with me. I was God, and I was to operate as God. I had to take them all. My love would have given me no peace had I excluded any of them. My daughter, look well into the womb of my mama. Fix well your eyes on my conceived humanity, and you will find your soul conceived with me and the flames of my love that devour you. Oh, how much I loved you, and I do love you. I felt dissolved in the midst of so much love, nor was I able to go out of it. But a voice called me loudly, saying, "My daughter, this is nothing yet. Cling more tightly to me and give your hands to my dear mama, that she may hold you to her maternal womb. And you, take another look at my little conceived humanity and watch to the fourth excess of my love." Fourth excess of love. My daughter, from the devouring love, move on to look at my operative love. Each conceived soul brought me the burden of her sins, of her weaknesses and passions, and my love commanded me to take the burden of each one of them. And it conceived not only the souls, but the pains of each one, as well as the satisfaction which each one of them was to give to my celestial Father. So my passion was conceived together with me. Look well at me in the womb of my celestial mama. Oh, how tortured was my little humanity. Look well at my little head surrounded by a crown of thorns, which, pressed tightly around my temples, made rivers of tears pour out from my eyes. Nor was I able to make a move to dry them. Oh, please be moved to compassion for me. Dry my eyes from so much crying. You who have arms free to be able to do it. These thorns are the crown of the so many evil thoughts which crowd the human minds. Oh, how they prick me, more than thorns which sprout from the earth. But look again, what a long crucifixion of 9 months. I could not move a finger or a hand or a foot. I was always immobile. There was no room to be able to move even a tiny bit. What a long and hard crucifixion, with the addition that all evil works, assuming the form of nails, continuously pierced my hands and feet. So he continued to narrate to me pains upon pains, all the martyrdoms of his little humanity, such that if I wanted to tell them all, I would be too long. I abandoned myself to crying, and I heard in my interior, my daughter, I would like to hug you, but I'm unable to do so. There is no room. I am immobile. I cannot do it. I would like to come to you, but I am unable to walk. For now you hug me and you come to me. Then when I come out of the maternal womb, I will come to you. But as I hugged him and squeezed him tightly to my heart with my imagination, an interior voice told me, enough for now, my daughter. Move on to consider the fifth excess of my love.
Thank you. fifth excess of love. And the interior voice continued, my daughter, do not move away from me. Do not leave me alone. My love wants your company. This is another excess of my love, which does not want to be alone. But do you know whose company it wants? That of the creature. See, in the womb of my mama, all of the creatures are together with me, conceived together with me. I am with them, all love. I want to tell them how much I love them. I want to speak with them, to tell them of my joys and sorrows, that I have come into their midst to make them happy and to console them, that I will remain in their midst as a little brother, giving my goods, my kingdom, to each one of them at the cost of my life. I want to give them my kisses and my caresses. I want to amuse myself with them. But how many sorrows they give me. Some run away from me. Some play deaf and force me into silence. Some despise my goods and do not care about my kingdom, returning my kisses and caresses with indifference and obliviousness of me. So they convert my amusement into bitter crying. Oh, how lonely I am, though in the midst of many. Oh, how loneliness weighs upon me. I have no one to whom to say a word, with whom to pour myself out, not even in love. I am always sad and taciturn, because if I speak, I am not listened to. Oh, my daughter, I beg you, I implore you, do not leave me alone in so much loneliness. Give me the good of letting me speak by listening to me. Lend your ear to my teachings. I am the master of masters. How many things do I want to teach you? If you listen to me, you will stop my crying and I will amuse myself with you. Don't you want to amuse yourself with me? And as I abandon myself in him, giving him my compassion in his loneliness, the interior voice continued, enough, enough. Move on to consider the sixth excess of my love.
Angels and My daughter, come, pray my dear mama to set aside a little space for you within her maternal womb, that you yourself may see the painful state in which I find myself. So in my thoughts, it seemed that our Queen Mama made me a little room to make Jesus content and placed me in it. But the darkness was such that I could not see him. I could only hear his breathing while he continued to say in my interior, my daughter, look at another excess of my love. I am the eternal light. The sun in a shadow is the shadow of my light. But do you see where my love led me? In what a dark prison I am? There is not a glimmer of light. It is always night for me, but a night without stars, without rest. I am always awake. What pain. The narrowness of this prison without being able to make the slightest movement. The thick darkness, even my breathing as I breathe through the breathing of my mama. Oh, how labored it is. To this, add the darkness of the sins of creatures. Each sin was a night for me. And combined together, they formed an abyss of darkness with no boundaries. What pain, oh, excess of my love, making me pass from an immensity of light and space into an abyss of thickness, thick darkness, so narrow as to lose the freedom to breathe, and all this for love of creatures. As he was saying this, he moaned, moans almost suffocated because of the lack of space, and he cried. I was consumed with crying. I thanked him. I compassionated him. I wanted to make him a little light with my love, as he told me to. But who can say all? Then the same interior voice added, enough for now. Move on to the seventh excess of my love.
Seventh excess of love. The interior voice continued, my daughter, do not leave me alone in so much loneliness and in so much darkness. Do not leave the womb of my mama, so you may see the seventh excess of my love. Listen to me. In the womb of my celestial father, I was fully happy. There was no good and good which I did not possess. Joy, happiness, everything was at my disposal. The angels adored me reverently, hanging upon my every wish. Ah, excess of my love, I could say that it made me change my destiny. It restrained me within this gloomy prison. It stripped me of all my joys, happiness, and goods, to clothe me with all the unhappinesses of creatures, and all these in order to make an exchange, to give them my destiny, my joys, and my eternal happiness. But this would have been nothing had I not found in them highest ingratitude and hope obstinate perfidy. Oh, how my eternal love was surprised in the face of so much ingratitude, and how it cried over the stubbornness and perfidy of men. Ingratitude was the sharpest thorn that pierced my heart from my conception up to the last moment of my life. Look at my little heart. It was wounded and pours out blood. What pain, what torture I feel. My daughter, do not be ungrateful to me. Ingratitude is the hardest pain of your Jesus. It is to close the door in my face, leaving me numb with cold. But my love did not stop at so much ingratitude. It took the attitude of supplicating, imploring, mourning, and begging love. This is the eighth excess of my love.
Born today, once and as he born in love. Eighth access of love. My daughter, do not leave me alone. Place your head upon the womb of my dear mama, and even from the outside you will hear my moans and my supplications. In seeing that neither my moans nor my supplications move the creature to compassion for my love, I assume the attitude of the poorest of beggars, and stretching out my little hand, I ask for pity's sake, and at least as alms, for their souls, for their affections, and for their hearts. My love wanted to win over the heart of man and at any cost, and in seeing that after seven accesses of my love, he was still reluctant, he played deaf, he did not care about me and did not want to give himself to me, my love wanted to push itself further. It should have stopped, but no, it wanted to overflow even more from within its boundaries. And from the womb of my mama, it made my voice reach every heart with the most insinuating manners, with the most fervent prayers, with the most penetrating words. And do you know what I said to them? My child, give me your heart. I will give you everything you want, provided that you give me your heart in exchange. I have descended from heaven to make a prey of it. Oh, please do not deny it to me. Do not delude my hopes. And in seeing him reluctant, even more, many turned their backs to me. I passed on to moaning. I joined my little hands and crying, but the voice suffocated by sobs, I added, oh, I am the little beggar. You don't want to give me your heart, not even as alms? Is this not a greater access of my love, that the Creator, in order to approach the creature, takes the form of a little baby, so as not to strike fear in him, that he asks for the heart of the creature, at least as alms, and in seeing that he does not want to give it, he supplicates, moans, and cries? Then I heard him say, and you, don't you want to give me your heart? Or maybe you too want me to moan, beg, and cry, in order to give me your heart? Do you want to deny me the alms I ask of you? And as he was saying this, I heard him as though sobbing, and I, my Jesus, do not cry. I give you my heart and all of myself. Then the interior voice continued, move further, pass on to the ninth excess of my love.
Ninth excess of love. My daughter, my state is ever more painful. If you love me, keep your gaze fixed on me to see if you can offer some relief to your Jesus. A little word of love, a caress, a kiss will give respite to my crying and to my afflictions. Listen, my daughter, after I gave 8 excesses of my love and man requited them so badly, my love did not give up and wanted to add the 9th excess to the 8th. And this was yearnings, sighs of fire, flames of desire, for I wanted to go out of the maternal womb to embrace man. This reduced my little humanity, not yet born, to such an agony as to reach the point of breathing my last. But as I was about to breathe my last, my divinity, which was inseparable from me, gave me sips of life. And so I regained life to continue my agony and return again to the point of death. This was the 9th excess of my love, to agonize and to die of love continuously for the creature. Oh, what a long agony of 9 months. Oh, how love suffocated me and made me die. Had I not had the divinity with me, which gave me life again every time I was about to finish, love would have consumed me before coming out to the light of day. Then he added, look at me, listen to me, how I agonize, how my heart beats, pants, burns. Look at me, now I die. And he remained in deep silence. I felt like dying. My blood froze in my veins, and trembling, I said to him, my love, my life, do not die. Do not leave me alone. You want love and I will love you. I will not leave you ever again. Give me your flames to be able to love you more and be consumed completely for you.
Still we see me, Lord, love.
Volume 3, December 25th, 1899. After spending several days of almost total privation of my highest and only good, days accompanied by hardness of heart, without even being able to cry over my great loss, though I offered to God even that loss, saying to him, Lord, accept it as a sacrifice. You alone can soften this heart of mine so hard. Finally, after long suffering, my dear Queen Mama came, carrying the celestial baby on her lap, wrapped in a little cloth, all shivering. She placed him in my arms, telling me, my daughter, warm him with your affections, because my son was born in extreme poverty, in the complete abandonment of men, and in highest mortification.
As I was in my usual state, I felt I was outside of myself. After wandering around, I found myself inside a cave, and I saw the Queen Mama in the act of giving birth to little baby Jesus. What a wonderful prodigy! It seemed that both mother and son were transmuted into most pure light. But in that light, one could see very well the human nature of Jesus, containing the divinity within itself and serving as a veil to cover the divinity in such a way that in tearing the veil of human nature, he was God, while covered by that veil, he was man. Here is the prodigy of prodigies, God and man, man and God. Without leaving the Father and the Holy Spirit, because true love never separates, he comes to dwell in our midst
taking on human flesh. Now it seemed to me that mother and son, in that most happy instant, remained as though spiritualized, and without the slightest difficulty, Jesus came out of the maternal womb, while both of them overflowed with excess of love. In other words, those most pure bodies were transformed into light, and without the slightest impediment, like Jesus came out of the light of the mother, while both one and the other remained cool and intact, returning then to their natural state.
Lord is the King of Israel.
Finding myself in my usual state, I was longing for little baby Jesus. And after many hardships, he made himself seen in my interior as a little baby and told me, "My daughter, the best way to make me be born in one's own heart is to empty oneself of everything. Because in finding empty space, I can place all my goods in it. And only then can I remain in it forever. If there is room to be able to carry all that belongs to me, all that is my own. A person who went to live in the house of someone else could be called happy only if he found empty space in which to be able to put all of his belongings. Otherwise, he would be unhappy. So I am. The second thing, in order to make me be born and to increase my happiness, is that everything the soul contains, both internal and external, everything must be done for me. Everything must serve to honor me, to execute my orders. If only one thing, one thought, one word is not for me, I feel unhappy. And while I should be the master, they make me a slave. Can I tolerate all this? The third one is heroic love, magnified love, love of sacrifice. These three loves make my happiness grow in a marvelous way because they render the soul capable of works which are superior to her strengths as she does them with my strength alone. They will expand her by making not only her, but also others love me. And she will reach the point of enduring anything, even death, in order to triumph in everything and be able to say to me, I have nothing else. Everything is only love for you. In this way, she will not only make me be born, but will make me grow and will form a beautiful paradise in her heart. As he was saying this, I looked at him, and from little, in one instant, he became big. In such a way that I remained completely filled with him. Then everything disappeared.
Just see and A blessed Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.